Well, if I ask today why you are celebrating Christmas and why Luke has to write to us this story Arnes read to us earlier in the service, and we know that we are taking this story from chapter 2, verse 8, the visit of the angels to the shepherds. Luke wants us to know that Jesus is the true Savior of the world, and that is why we celebrate Christmas. And you may ask, why Jesus being the Savior of the world, are we in trouble? Yes, the Bible says that all have sinned and all are in trouble. All need a Savior. All need a rescue. And here, this is what it's telling us. This is what is pressing on us, that why it is so important for for all humanity since the birth of Jesus to celebrate his birth, because what Jesus came to do is unique, as he himself unique, as we have just sung Emmanuel. We know that Jesus' birth at that time was just like normal. We read in the first verses of chapter 2 that there was a very important person, figure in the Roman Empire, and his name was Caesar Augustus or Augustus Caesar. That is another language. So that one was the most important person in his empire, and on everything was evolving around him. And so we know that he decreed that all should go and register for census. We do have census in our modern times. And so by doing that, he was hoping to raise tax and to empower his kingdom and his empires. And that is why he did that. And so he commanded everybody in his empire to go to their own town, to their own places, to register there. And then we know that Joseph, who was betrothed to, who was engaged to Mary, went to Bethlehem, because that is their place, the city of David, because Joseph was coming from that lineage. He belonged to the family of David. He is a descendant of David. And so he took his wife. And as they were there, the Bible says Mary was expecting a child. So that was beyond Caesar's mind and was beyond everybody else's minds. And yet God, here, he reveals it first and foremost to the shepherds. So the shepherds, we read, they were ordinary people who were out in the field nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And then an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. That was Shekinah. That was God himself coming, declaring the birth of his son, Jesus Christ, to the shepherds, these ordinary people, telling them that of this event, a single event that was going to change the history, that was going to change lives of many people, that was going to change the destiny of many people, their destiny to heavens, to glory, or destiny to hell completely. And also, as they live here on earth, their vocations change, their mindsets, their life totally change. And so Shekinah here is God's glory, God's appearance. We know of his appearances in the Old Testament. The first time he did that, or a few times he did that in the Old Testament. Let me just give you one example. The Lord God himself, when he led his people out of Israel, he led them with a pillar of cloud during the day and also a pillar of fire at night. And that was to show his glory, to show that he is God who is in covenant with his own people. And the pillar of cloud during the day in the desert was to provide not only a route for them to follow, because in desert you hear of people dying in the desert, isn't it? Or in jungles where there is no roots, isn't it? You see, so people of God could be lost. But God himself, he was leading them with that cloud and also providing shade for them during the day, because it's too hot in the desert of Egypt. And at night, also they wouldn't see anything. And the Lord himself was demonstrating his power and his glory for his people, the people he has brought to himself. And so that they will see where they were going, that they follow the leading of God. Where the Lord God is leading them, they go. And also providing at night warmth, heaters. Huh? We do have heaters, isn't it, in our homes. We have them here. Also, so they call they are called what? Double. Huh? A split, huh? Yeah, so they do cooling and heating, isn't it? Well, the Lord God himself, he did that. He did the cooling and the heating. So we didn't invent anything, isn't it? But just only this thing, they don't lead us anywhere. You see, but God led his own people. And here, appearing to the shepherds, these ordinary people like you and I, for God to come and speak to you. Because this is what he's saying to, the angel was saying to the shepherds, do not be afraid. Because that is the normal response of humans when they come into contact with God. A holy God who can stand in his presence. 1:26, that was the response of Mary. He was terrified. Zechariah also was terrified. And it is in this fear that we make decisions, isn't it? If because this will tell us that we can be frightened, we can fear God, we can really run away from his presence because he comes with holiness. That was what Peter did when Jesus commanded him to throw his net and had a lot of fish. He felt of his sinfulness. And he asked Jesus to leave. I am a sinful person. It's only God himself to comfort us. To say, "This I appear not to crush you. I appear to bring you to myself. I love you so much. And that is what I want to do. Do not be afraid. I bring you personally good news of great joy." And that is why Christmas is associated with great joy. I preached this sermon on the same day in 2016. I'm modifying it. I'm not doing it the same way. The joy of the Christmas. The joy of Christmas. Why there is so much joy? People didn't invent this thing. They knew that Christmas is associated with joy. And that was what, but not joy just that is outside. It's a joy that is to be experienced in a certain way, because Luke is going to tell us why there is great joy. Yeah, for those who celebrate Christmas. But for others who want to celebrate Christmas by going to shopping centers and buying new things, and they think they can capture by doing that the nature of joy that is associated with Christmas. And so let us have big parties, and I know there will be a lot of lunches, and so rightly so. Because it is really, truly associated with joy. And if you are not joyful in this day, and then today I will invite you to come into contact with Christ so that you can know why people celebrate like this. Why people would want to buy new clothes. Why people would want to share love with other people to give them and to make their Christmas really great and wonderful. Not to feel that they are left out. Because God didn't leave out the shepherds. The shepherds were ordinary people. They were just like out there in the field with their flock. Nobody cares about them, you see. But God himself, he visited them, and they were the first recipients of the great news of the birth of Jesus Christ in Bethlehem, in the city of David. So they were told, do not be afraid. This is not time to be fearful. And every person who has come to know Jesus Christ personally will know the grace of God in casting out fears. The fear from judgment, fear from hell and God's judgments of sin, even the tyranny of sin and Satan. And so they were told, do not be afraid. I bring you good news. And the word "you" is repeated over and over and over again. God is not so far It's God who interacts with people. It's God who wants to come to you. He said, to you, not the next person next to you, to you personally. God wants to speak to you today, whether you are young or old. And that is why he sent Jesus, so that he can have a relationship with you. That is why you hear people, our Father in heaven. So sometimes you are used to saying, our Father in heaven. Maybe you need to say, my Father in heaven. Those who know Jesus, they say, my Father in heaven. That is why the angel came here from God himself, telling the disciple, today you will be joyful as you hear this news, and you will go and you will see it with your own eyes. You will experience this. And I'm coming to this shortly. They were told, to you, I bring you. You. It's you. Christmas is about you. It's about you. Jesus coming to you. Jesus coming to forgive your sins. Jesus coming to be your friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. We sing those things, those songs, isn't it? My shepherd, my Lord, my Redeemer. So the one that you can call yours, mine. You see, so that is why the angel was saying to you today, today, Jesus, and he will describe to us, who is this Jesus? Today in the town of David, in keeping with the prophecies of the Old Testament, saying that God who acted in the past by delivering his people from Egypt is the same God who is coming to deliver his people from sin, from dominion of Satan, to a new kingdom. I bring you good news of great joy. Joy that does not depend on what you have. It's joy that does not depend on how people treat you. How much you know. How much money you have. It's a joy that is associated with Christ himself. And this is what it says. Today in the town of David, a savior. First thing. A savior. A savior is being born to you again. The good news are for you, and because to you a savior is being born. Jesus Christ is a savior in the first place. So the sinners are the one who needs a savior. And if you say to yourself that you are not a savior, and then you cannot have the joy of the Christmas. So you need to acknowledge in the first place that you are a sinner, and you need a savior. That was what I did. I just came to realization that I was a sinner and that I was going nowhere. In terms of joy, I wouldn't have joy. I would be so sad and unhappy with the thing that I was reading. with pain that I was seeing around me, people who were poor and people who were unloved, uneducated people, insignificant people around me. I saw those things. I saw injustice. Saw that. And the world today is full of all these things, as it was that time. You see, this emperor, he is the leader of a vast kingdom. So you can't do anything outside of their approval. Even to worship God, you need their approval. That is why they were religion that they allowed to be practiced. They call them religious licitors, just because they want to control people. Well, Jesus Christ is the savior of the world, and that is what Luke is trying to tell us. And in his letter, in his gospel, he's focusing on Christ being the savior of the world. When Matthew will focus on Messiah being the king of the Jews, proving to the Jews Jesus is a savior. So if you come to him and accept him, you will be saved from your sins. And that was the first action. That is why being the savior is his name. That is the name that he was given. Jesus, Jesus, savior. Savior to me, to you, to save you from your sin. You don't have to live under sin. You don't have to be oppressed every day by wrong thoughts that has no God in it. You don't have to live your life by your intellect. You have a savior to save you from your sins and from fresh thoughts that are not related to God, thought that can only bring you down, thought that can just cause you to focus on yourself. When you know that yourself, you cannot save yourself. So they were told that this son who is born is the Savior, and also he is Christ. Christ means anointed. He is anointed. He is the anointed one. He has been anointed for all of your needs. All the titles of Christ are summed up in this word, the Christ, the anointed one. That is what he said in Isaiah 61. That was what he said. The Spirit of the Most High God is upon me. The Spirit of the Most High God is upon me. I have been anointed. The Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news. Good news that you don't have to do it yourself. Good news that you can't afford the price to pay for your sins. This is the good news. And Jesus said, this is what I have been anointed for. And he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. The brokenhearted. When your heart is broken, you cannot have joy. But when you have Jesus in your life, you will have joy, even if everything is that causes you to be broken in heart. Is it still there? Loss of a friend, loss of a mom or a dad, loss of your job, loss of friends, loss of a wife and a husband. Is still, you will have joy, the joy of the Lord, the fact that he has been anointed for you to proclaim freedom for the captives. You have never come across someone who is demon-possessed. It's a terrible thing. You read about it only in the gospel, and I hope that you believe that. But there are a lot of people under demons. And yet, when they come to Jesus, they are set free. And Jesus went on to release from darkness to proclaim a release from darkness for the prisoners, to heal the sick, to encourage. So Jesus is anointed to be everything that you need. All the titles that he carries, to be the bread of life, to fill your thirst and hunger. That is why he says that if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me. Thirsty for love, thirsty for acknowledgement from others. All these things will not help you. But here, the shepherds are told, and we are told that Jesus is not only the Savior, he is the Christ. He is sufficient for all of your needs. If you turn to him, if you turn to Jesus Christ, he has been anointed for all of your needs. He said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you will not walk in darkness. You will not believe in the dark things. You will not be lost in how to live a life of righteousness. All that he says here. He says he is the way. The way to follow, the way to heaven, the way of life. This is what Jesus being the Christ means. He is everything that God meant for you to be. He is your redeemer. He has redeemed you and he will redeem you. And not only that, he is Savior and Christ, and also he is the Lord. You know, Luke was writing to a culture that was understanding all these phrases, isn't it? They know what it is to have anointed. They are anointed kings. They know when kings are anointed, they have the office of kingship. They know also when someone is Lord, that means they have dominions over that realm for which they are Lord. And so now he's saying, when you come to Christ, he will be your Lord. He will have the final word for your life. No one will enslave you. no one you will be answerable to than himself. That is what they were doing, the slaves and masters. And Jesus is saying, me being your Lord, that means that you are saved. And his lordship is not like the lordship of the kings of the earth. He is a good king. He's a good Lord. He will not lord it over yourself. And all that is being written in the Bible about Christ himself will be fulfilled in his ministry. As we read in Isaiah 42, this is what it's saying. My servants, this is the servant of God. I will put my spirit on him and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break. When even when you are weak and everybody else is saying you are hopeless, he will not break you. He's a good Lord. And a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. And that is what Jesus is saying here. This is what Jesus is. That is why Jesus is the center of the creation of the whole universe. That is why he is the true savior of the world, the Lord. And then not only that, now God also who speaks to us and tells us that Jesus who is being born, if you turn to him, he will be saved and you will have someone who has all the power to help you out and to be your Lord and be your savior. But also he gave them a sign. He gave them a sign. So when they go, they will not miss it. And this sign was to them as well again. A sign to you. Again, God putting emphasis on this. That is God who will give you a sign that what I'm telling you is the truth. And you will never miss it. God will give you a sign. This is not the first time for God to give signs. Even Jonathan and his arm bearer, God gave them a sign when they were going to fight the Philistinians or the Philistines. And they said, if they come up to us, we know that God has delivered them. Or if they do the opposite, and then we know that, oh, we don't have to fight the battle. God is God who gives signs. A sign to you. Many of us who are sitting here who have come to faith, we were given a sign. We were given a sign that what we are dealing with now is from God. It's something you don't have to be quiet about. God sending angel and speaking to you personally, saying to you, well, today we may not need an angel to come because it's written to us here. Now, the Lord is with us. Let me ask you this question. Have you ever seen someone celebrating his birthday and going away to leave other people to celebrate his birthday? You sit where your birthday is celebrated, isn't it? So the birthday is about the person we are celebrating. And it's the same thing today. We are celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ, who is present. We're saying that, and we know from the history, and we know from our testimonies, and we know why the church is here on earth. Because Jesus truly is the Savior of the world, is the Christ, and is the Messiah. He is the Lord. And those people were given a sign and they went. And those who have come to faith, they were given a sign that unless you turn to God, you will perish. The addictions you have, if you don't repent of your sins, they will break you, they will kill you. The hollow in your heart, thirst for love, will never be filled anywhere else. Come to me, Jesus says. And he gave the shepherd a sign to follow. And truly, it's a sign to you. Even as you hear me today, make this day a sign to you that you will not celebrate Jesus' birthday next year without Jesus. Because a lot of people are celebrating his birthday without him. In the shopping centers and other places across the world, even Muslims are celebrating his birthday without the message he came to bring Why is a savior? On the cross, he paid the price. And so the shepherd were told that you will see a sign, and they were given a sign that you will find a baby wrapped in cloth and in a manger, and that is the one that you will that I'm telling you about is the one that will bring great joy to your hearts if you believe in him. And that is what happens. We have seen the glory of God. We have seen him speaking to these people. And not only that, suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel who was speaking to the shepherds, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest of heavens, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. Certainly the shepherds, they have received his favor by hearing this good news that will bring them great joy, good news that will change their life completely once and for all. And my praise this morning is that Jesus Christ, as you turn to him, then your joy will be great and will be full. And these people, that was what they are going to experience. And God himself declaring to us, this is one and single event that will have no parallel in the human history. And that is why this heavenly host were praising God as well. And you know, this message needs really a response. Because when you are told something, you need to respond to this. Many people have responded to the message of the gospel. You cannot serve two masters. And so for the shepherds, and they are just leading the way for us, what are we going to do? What are we going to do with this great news? Sometimes you are told something and then you do nothing. Someone can say to you, this person is hungry, and as if you didn't hear anything. Well, your response should be, well, how can I help this person, isn't it? It's the same thing. So look, if you are going down in your sin, going to hell, and you are told that this person is the only person who can rescue you from your troubles, will you not respond to him? The shepherds, they are wise people. They are telling us that their wise response when they heard this, when the angels left them, they said, let us go to Bethlehem and see these things that has happened. Let us go to Bethlehem. And that should be the response of every person whoever hears the good news of the gospel. Is for you to turn to God and to investigate, what is this message for me? That is what the Christmas is all about. It's for us responding to God, responding to Jesus, the Savior of the world and the Christ and the Lord. Turning to him with all of our hearts so that our sins might be washed away. They said, let us go to Bethlehem and see these things. To see, to have enough evidence that this is so. And as they went, they see exactly what they were told to see. And they prove what they were told. Let us go to Bethlehem. Many people today, they wouldn't want to go to Jesus personally. They wouldn't want to go to him, even though Jesus is your Savior. They wouldn't want to go. But the shepherd, they say, let us go. Because of all that have been demonstrated before them, the glory of God, God coming down himself in his glory with great brightness. These acts that require supernatural action from God himself. God did it for these ordinary people. And now also even the angelic host bursting in praises. Why wouldn't they want to go? To see for themselves. The Bible says when they went, they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. Well, there is a movement in this text. And I believe if you reflect on the life of Christians through history, begin with this, God is speaking to your hearts, bringing you to his son to be changed. And also to praise God and to also evangelize. Because to evangelize, you are sharing what you have experienced yourself. When they experienced this truth, that what they saw, that was the Savior of the world. That was Jesus, their Lord and their Master. And they went telling others of this great news. And everybody who heard that, they were amazed. We are not told whether they believed or not, but we are told that they were amazed. And Mary was also treasuring these things in her heart. Someone said she was the theologian who was recording everything. So, you see, I don't know why they love the word theologian, why they should say the mother. She bore Jesus anyway, nine months. But what is the most important thing here is the response of the shepherds. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which was just as they had been told. God is faithful. Exactly as they were told, they found all these things. They went back glorifying God. The Magi in Matthew 2, when they were given a sign too, they came from the east to see the newborn king. And when they saw him, after Herod telling them that, you come back and report to me if you found the son, the child, and I will go also and worship, they didn't go back. They didn't go back. They went their way praising God. Everyone who has come into a personal relationship with Jesus, ever, then and ever, becomes a worshiper. Someone who praises God. Someone who praises God for his act of mercy, because this is a favor shown to you, not because of anything you have done in righteousness. That is what the Bible says here. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. His favor. It's not of your intelligence. It's not of anything. It's just simply by trusting the Lord God himself. That is what these disciples, these shepherds have believed. And now the result is the fact that they are believers and glorifying God and praising him for his faithfulness, for his mercy, that this should be revealed to them. One of the worst things ever we can ever do is to continue living our own lives after we have been given this much evidence about Jesus himself, knowing his forgiveness, knowing his cleansing, knowing his lordship himself, knowing the certainty of eternity, of glory to be revealed, and for which we have glimpses even in our day today, singing these songs. Otherwise, I don't want to say that I hope we don't sing just for the sake of singing. We'd really mean it. Glory to God in the highest for what he has done for us. And that is why the Christmas is associated with joy. That is going back to what the angel said. That was the center of the message. That was what really the angel were telling them. Like, these events will bring you great joy. And my prayer is that your joy should be based on the fact that you have been saved by the Savior himself. That you have come to know the anointing of Christ himself. That you have come to know his deliverance, his love, his mercy, his lordship. That is what should bring joy to your heart. I don't know what brings joy to the hearts of many Christians in our day today. I don't know. I hope that it's because of this great news that God has acted in history and brought you to himself. As he says, I bring you today. This is what I want to leave with you. The good news are for you to come to Jesus and know his salvation, to confess your sin, and to be redeemed once and for all, and to be destined for glory. To you is to you. The good news are for you. And there is a sign. What is the sign? The fact that you are sitting here today, hearing this news, if you have not come to Christ, is a sign to you that you didn't come here in vain. You come here today to hear the message. Why there is so great joy in the hearts of Christians who are celebrating Christmas rightly. And so that your Christmas next year will be so different. You may do it with the same shirt that you did Christmas with this year, like mine. But what will be new always is the fact that this joy, no one can take it away from you. And to finish with these things. Also, these good news are for everybody. This is what it says. That will be for all the people. Will be for all the people. To know Jesus is for you as a young person. It's because for all, for young and old, for rich and poor, educated and uneducated, every human being can come to Christ. Every person can come. This joy that God is bringing is for every person. Because God is delighted in rescuing us. He's not God of sadness. He's not God who wants us to go to hell. He's God who wants us to be saved. People who are rejecting the message of God will say, oh, why God would want to send people to hell? Well, he offered you salvation and heavens. He is you who is choosing hell. Because after all, he has created the whole universe for this purpose, that every single person will turn to him. And that is why he sent Jesus to save people from hell and from sin. Because he's a God who loves, he's a God who wants to show his favor, and he's a God who delights in every person. This good news, this joy is for every person who believes. Do you believe? Do you believe in Christ as your Savior? Do you believe in him? Do you have the joy of the Christmas, the true joy that comes from the fact that he has been born into your life, that you know him and you have come to know his forgiveness for your sins? Have you come to that? Don't delay. This might be your last chance ever. This might be your last opportunity to see me standing here, whether for me departing or even you. You never know. Because the response of these people, they did it, they hurried. This is what the Bible says. So they hurried off. They hurried off. What are you waiting for? Surrender your life to Christ and believe in him. Open your heart. And then you may ask me, how can I believe in Christ? You say, Lord Jesus, just come into my heart. I just want to believe in you as my Savior, my Lord and my Master. Today is a day of salvation. If you heard his voice, do not harden your heart. These people, they hurried off. So you can too come to him quickly. He is opening up the opportunity for you. And then you say, oh, how can I do that? Just switch your mind. Just to say today, I want to capture what the Lord God is telling me. And in your experience, you know what is happening around you. You know drug addicts everywhere, isn't it? Alcoholic. These people, they say, oh, I want to give up. They can't get out of that. You see, but Jesus has been anointed, he said, to set the captive free. Whatever addiction you are, even the Facebook. How many times have I prayed, Lord, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this thing. And he helped me. So he can help you with anything. That is why your joy is great. Because he can help you with anything. You see, whenever your heart is heavy, you can turn to him. And then you can pass into joy because of his word. I'm studying Matthew 16 at the moment. When Jesus said, like, if anyone would want to follow me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So to follow Jesus also, you need to give up, to turn your back to the things that you are doing every day if they are not honoring God. Come and follow me. You must give up all these things. That is part of the turning to Christ. Hurry up. They hurried off to see what God has told them. That is why Christmas is full of joy, because God has loved us so much and sent us his son, Jesus Christ. And he started to share this good news with ordinary people like yourself and myself, the shepherds, and giving us an example that this is how we receive his good news, humbly, like these shepherds, who were just like not great people, but people who the Bible reveals to us as honest people who are really serious about the things of God, people who will not dismiss signs and evidences. And that is what God wants from all of us. He wants us not to dismiss any evidence, any sign. One of our greatest struggles is to go against what God wants us to do. I know this as a person. Our greatest problems is after we are given many signs, we try to do the opposite, because what we are told to do is hard to believe, is hard to do, but that is what brings joy. As for these people, at night they didn't worry about their flock, they didn't worry about whether they will find him or not, just they went in simple faith, believing and trusting that God is faithful. And the reason they celebrated and they rejoiced so much is that everything they were told, they found it exactly as they were told. And they have seen the description that was given to them. The true joy of Christmas comes when we receive Christ personally and we have him in our hearts and our lives. Where are you standing? Where are you celebrating Christ? How is your Christmas looking like? Is it a birthday celebration without the person himself, the person of Jesus Christ, or Jesus is in the center of your celebration? If he is, well, you have come to the right person, because he is the Savior of the world, and the whole world today is under his lordship, whether the world likes it or not. He is the Lord and he is the Master. Let us pray.